Farid. Weil Gott mehr mit deinen Zehen zu tun hat, als du denkst. RevLab.
I'm here today with Chris Bale. He's one of the big spiritual influencers these days. He's known for his sometimes quite provocative posts about contemporary spirituality and, you know, its bullshit sides, and yes, about sex too. What I'm much more interested in this conversation though is his approach or his understanding of the importance of the body and what does embodied spirituality mean? What is it as opposed to this sort of just trendy mind spirituality? And why is it essential to come home to your base, or as Chris calls it, the root dantian, a term that is used in Qigong and Taoism, meaning energy center in the body, very much like chakra in the yogic lingo. I hope you'll enjoy this deep, deep exploration of being human, of reality, despite the poor audio quality due to technical difficulties. Sorry for that. After all, I'm sure you'll understand it's this Mercury retrograde thing going on, just to throw some astro terms out there too.
Thank you for meeting with me and with our audience today. I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me.
We're on Holy Embodied here, and it's all about God in the body and the formless in form. So I wonder, Chris, what role does the body play in your field of work or in your work?
My work wouldn't exist without the body. Everything, almost everything that I work with is through one's cultivation of their life force or of their God essence. And where is that felt? In the body. Where is that cultivated? In the body, through the body. Our trauma is held in the body. So everything that I'm doing, whether it's with a person who's coming to me for some form of support or assistance or healing work, or whether it's just my moment to moment, day to day, everything is about being in the body for me. And the deeper that we can be in the body, the deeper we can know the body, the deeper we can start to create a relationship of listening, which is required, in my experience, for increased vitality, for increased connectedness, for increased love, peace, joy, bliss. I mean, our whole life is experienced through the body, even when we do everything that we can possibly do to get away from it, right?
Yes.
By crawling up inside of our heads and living life in the mind, that we can somehow escape the realities of what's happening in our body, but that generally tends to be quite a rude awakening when a person has left themselves to a certain degree.
Okay. And oftentimes spiritual practices also like to avoid the body a little bit, at least.
quite a few that want to go outside the body and want to astrally project to other places. There's a lot of practices that are quite top heavy, where there's a lot of focus on the upper dantian, the upper center. Of course, without a massive foundation of energetic development in the lower body and the lower centers first, it's very dangerous to be hanging out up here all the time. I see that quite a lot with the people that come to me, is there can be energetic deviations that happen in the body because they're overly invested in whatever's been sold to them as trendy, such as opening the third eye or, you know, enlightenment and And for me, enlightenment is how deeply okay are you with the animal in you. That is the first step, I believe, to them naturally progressing up through the centers of our body.
I love how frank you are about, you know, these things, like whatever's trendy, people go for opening your third eye and the heart. And I mean, it's beautiful and partly incredibly, I don't know, I guess necessary. But then there's also the hype aspect. And I appreciate how frank you're about that. And you were saying how a lot of the spiritual practices are focusing on like the upper chakras. And from what I've seen of your work is more down there in the root.
My background before any of, I guess, the work that I'm more known for publicly now, which is more intimacy related and energetically related, my roots are very deeply in traditional Chinese medicine. I'm an acupuncturist by trade, I guess you could say. That was my main foundational study of a system. And then after that, also medical qigong, medical type of energy work that works on the foundation of traditional Chinese medicine. So through that background, my understanding has been for healing, for energetic development, whether it's for health, whether it's martially, right, for martial arts cultivation, whether it's for spirituality and development of consciousness, there's a few things that have to happen in order for us to progress through these different levels and phases within the body in a healthy way. We're in a phase of instant gratification. Very little focus ability. Our attention is being displaced everywhere. There's a lot of distraction that we're being sold. And I think we kind of just want to make up what is more comfortable for us right now and go, yeah, I can just do this thing and I can cut cards and I can use the crystals to do the work. And, you know, in one aspect, beautiful. If that's what a person truly believes, go for it. I've just never seen it as actually being true. If a person is not developed and practiced, and if that person has not went through some form of traditional step-by-step levels of development, it's all in the head at that point because they don't have the energy to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And in my frankness, sometimes it can trigger quite a lot of people, and I ultimately want people to be in alignment with whatever feels the truest for them. If you can discredit everything that I say here today, if you're listening and it's like, well, that doesn't feel true to me, all right, beautiful, stay with you in that regard. Forget what I said. But I've worked with thousands of people over the years, and I've seen all these different types of expressions and belief systems. And what it's always, always, always come down to, in my experience, is how practiced, how in the body, and how cultivated is this person? How much have they prioritized a system of cultivation? And just to go back to that initial question of why my work is lower down in the body is because right now we're also up here, right? We walk around very in the upper body, and it's not a true up, right? It's a false up. Yeah. That's based on a level of foundational deficiency in many cases. So through my background of working with the body and being in certain practices, the way that it seems to go is first to make contact with the earth energy. Our chi, our ki, our energy has to first sink from the top of the head all the way through the sinews, the tendons, the muscles, the bone systems, the fascial sheath that wraps around our whole body, all of this has to start opening and pulling away from the bone and softening, stretching and sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking and through the pelvic region and the lower back and the root and the knees and the ankles until we're so deeply relaxed in our being that now our energy can start to kiss the ground. And our energy can start to kiss the ground. Now something beautiful and profound happens. It shifts and it springs up through us. So it elongates up through the spine. It starts to create space, a really vast sense of space starts to open in the body. And this is what I feel through my experience is what is required to go up. We have to go down first. We have to be able to access the ability to go down. Because if our shoulders are up around our ears and our jaws tight and we're getting migraines and we have palpitations and we're stressed and we're overstimulated and we're not in alignment with being here in a way of love and kindness, well, we're going to suffer a lot. Life is going to feel horrendous for the most part. It's going to be a struggle for us. So I guess I'm maybe a little old school or more traditional in my approach, which is this takes time, absolute dedication and commitment to being in the body through whatever practice a person may choose or through whatever way of being that person is choosing. But without that, we all know the spiritual words, and we can say words like grounded and ascending and I'm opening my chakras. It's like, are you really though? or are you tricking yourself? And that's the part that I actually feel is the most dangerous. So that's why I'm so outspoken about it, because my version of loving people is how honest and how frank and how direct can I be with you if I get a sense that I feel you may be tricking yourself, which is getting in the way of you actually healing.
Yes, I would love to talk about that difference, that discernment that you're so beautifully making that is crucial when embarking on this journey. It's very easy for the mind to trick you into believing that you're ascending, awakening, and opening your chakras and whatnot, as opposed to the real path, if we want to call it that way, where it's not your mind doing anything or not the person doing. At least that's the way I'm experiencing it and the way I understand that it's that which is coming into the body, that which is eventually kissing the ground, is awareness. Or you as awareness.
So the question is, how do you know the difference? Is that?
Yes, exactly.
So the one thing about our spiritual or energetic development, I guess, and this is, I think, one of the reasons that it's a free-for-all in terms of who's out there claiming to be something, that they're doing something with energy or they're doing. So how do we know what's real? How do we know what's true? How can we be discerning in that? The first piece, obviously, is a person will have to cultivate discernment through how deeper they can be in their body, how more they can be in contact with their intuition. So when they're choosing to potentially move towards someone, that it's not coming from their own sense of lack or fear or this person will save me, right? That's a huge red flag in terms of, okay, maybe I'm not fully discerning the truth of what's going on with this person I'm seeking to move towards. But in terms of measurement systems or where a person is at, I like to use the example of like martial arts as an example. So in, you know, energy worker land or spiritual development land, where is the measurement system for that? It can be hard. Okay, you know, is what the person's saying real?
Yes.
Have they just made it up and they're so convinced by it? One of the things with martial arts is a person can sit there and say they've opened all of their chakras and they've cultivated all of this internal wisdom and this internal power. But then you take that person and you put them into a ring against someone else, and you'll see pretty quickly what the measurement system is. You'll see pretty quickly, is that person actually where they say they're at? Because if they're not, they'll just get their ass kicked and handed to them. Right? And I'm like, beautiful. That's it. That's a clear measurement system. So we don't have that when it comes to spiritual, energetic cultivation. So what can we share with people through my somewhat limited experience in my short amount of time that I've been here for? But what I really feel very clear on is a person who has cultivated or is carrying a lot of energy to the point where they can actually be effective engaging energetically with other people in terms of healing or supportive work. A person who's carrying a lot of cultivated life force is going to be moving around in their life deeply peaceful, calm, present. Right now, that's one of the only clear measurement systems that I would invite people to look at. And even with themselves, right, with their own work, am I experiencing more peacefulness in my life? Or maybe I'm being tricked by, I don't know, what it means to be a feminine embodied creature. Because maybe that's just the re-traumatization, and what a person may think is her feminine expression is actually just her kind of bathing in her trauma over and over and over again. And then wondering why no one will show up and continuously hold that with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of blind spots in polarity work, in feminine work, in men's work. And so that's the part that can be quite concerning when there's a person really being here for a certain type of expression, when in fact they're actually injuring themselves over and over and over again. Because someone sometime wrote a book and said, this is the way feminine embodiment looks.
Yes.
Maybe it's not. Right? And maybe we're hurting ourselves. Maybe it looks a different way. So questioning everything and really feeling into, how do I feel when I'm aligned with this work? How do I feel when I align with this practice? Do I feel more relief, more love, more spaciousness, more peacefulness, more calm in my life? More acceptance, more surrender, not to anything other than myself and the God that has put me here. Now, that doesn't mean there's not challenges and there's not emotions that come up, but there's not traumatic experiences that come up as we start to open the body. It will happen, right? That's a beautiful part of our healing. But is the expression of it how the work is advertised and sold to you, right? Or is the result of it deeper peace, deeper connectedness, and deeper love? And I think a lot of the practices, the teachings that are very trendy right now, they're very yang-based, right? We have yin and yang. They're very blowout experiences. And we like that because we have shorter attention spans, and we want the thing that will do the thing immediately. That's intense.
Yes. Intensity is good. We want the sparkles, the fireworks.
and that can be very beneficial in certain moments, but it's not the thing you want to rest your hand on. It's not the thing you want to lean into in terms of a daily practice for oneself. Because it will burn us up very, very quickly. And the meditativeness, the peacefulness in life right now, because we're so far away from it collectively, is very unattractive to most people. It's like, oh, that's boring.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if you can relate to this, but for me and many people I practice with, that way means you're spending a lot of time on your own, just sitting in a chair or on a sofa or maybe on a cushion, I don't know, but you're just spending a lot of time alone. And that's, yeah, it's not very attractive to many.
But it's not even about being alone, right? Because we can be in meditativeness while we're deeply entwined with another who we're making love with.
Mm, yes.
Sex. We can be the least alone that we've ever felt and still be deeply in that blissful peace with another person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's accessible right away, that deep stillness shared with another or with others?
It's as accessible as that individual has the access to when they're alone with themselves.
Yeah.
So whatever that person can be in themselves, that's the depth that they can be with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we also may have complicated a lot of the practices. We complicated a lot of the process in our development, in our healing.
Yeah.
I think if we can be a lot more focused on loving kindness, so what does it mean for me in this moment to, let's say a person's in a fear response or they're so absorbed by their own experience. That can be a trick in the spiritual development space where it just becomes me, 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 me. How I'm not being met, how I'm not being heard, how I'm not being seen. It's like, okay, I hear you, but what are you bringing? Or is it just me, 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 me? Because that's just another form of our trauma.
Yes.
And when we're me, 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 that's a very excruciating place to live from. Because we're not of service. We're not being useful on the planet. And I'm not saying ever abandon oneself, because that's the other form of the trauma, right? It's in the people pleaser, right? It's, I want to give everything to everyone. I want to help everyone. I want to make everyone feel better. But if we look under that, it's never about the other person. They're still doing it for me, 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 based on what they feel when they help someone. So what I'm always wanting to, I guess, support a person aligning with is, how can I first start practicing that lovingness with myself so deeply so it can begin to overflow and I can start to be of beautiful use in the world. It's not about value. We're all inherently valuable. There's nothing we can do to be less valuable or more valuable. We're just of value. But are we willing to, in some moments, put ourselves, you know, in the importance of me, 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 slightly to the side in order to be here for love, to be here in kindness, to be here from a place of deep generosity. Because that in itself starts to flood life force in through our system. And I recently was asking the man that I was working with, he was sharing all these symptoms of his energy as it's increasing. He's like, you know, I'm doing all this practice. And, you know, how can I make this feel better? How can I make this feel less uncomfortable? And my question to him is, what are you doing all the practice for? It's like, well, okay, you got all this extra energy. Congratulations. Like, where are you putting it? What are you doing with it? Or are you just like storing it all and keeping it all for yourself? It's like, put it out in the world. Help some people, like be of support to some people. Whatever that means, it doesn't mean even spiritual worker, it can be anything.
Yeah, we're not doing these practices, we're not cultivating awareness and consciousness and whatnot, or call it what you want. This whole game is not about, well, it's not about you at all, in a way, no. Oh.
I feel like it starts with you. It starts with I as an individual. Because we got to know where we're at. We got to know how we're functioning. We have to be able to be very alert to everything that's going on in us, to our motivations in our life, to the ways we're lying to ourselves, to the ways we're tricking ourselves, to the way that we're engaging with other people, the way we're engaging with love and relationship and community. The more we can see ourselves, the better jump off point we have to start loving ourselves and in turn loving other people.
I'd love for you to share how you work with people and what is it that you, quote unquote, do.
So I do very little of anything, honestly, most of the time. Sometimes I say words that can sound really nice and can sometimes sound poetic, and people like to receive it sometimes. And sometimes I say words that make people angry, brings up opinions in them. If you asked me this question 8 years ago, I would have been able to give you a beautiful long answer. All the amazing things that I do. Here I am. But now, ultimately, what I've come to understand is it's never about what I'm doing with a person. It's who and what I'm being when I'm interfacing with them. My intention is, I always say that 80% of my work is energetic, 20% of the pretty words that I might say that allows the person's mind to go, he's saying things, this means it's worth it. But once the mind is kind of occupied, the 80% of the work that I do with people, which inherently comes from my background, is energetic. There's energetic information that's being exchanged. There's no time and space in my experience, and there's always multiple conversations and exchanges that are happening underneath the verbal communication. So what I am doing generally is coming with a certain vibratory rate or frequency that I have accumulated from how I live my life on a moment-to-moment daily basis, what I'm here for, just as an individual. And allowing that energy to kind of plug into another person and to support them in adjusting, realigning, feeling some things that maybe they wouldn't have access to feel before because the vibration in them was quite dense. So for me, it's all about vibratory rates and also transmitting energetic information. There's a lot of work that I do with people. As I said, as I'm speaking with them, I'm, you know, lighting the fire. I'm accessing their lower dantian. I'm opening certain centers of their body. Or I'm transmitting energetic foundation into a certain place so now they can start to feel that place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the energy work we do with people is essentially just having them feel more of themselves, hearing more of themselves, listening to more of themselves. Because that's where the truth is. That's where the answers are. I can't tell anybody who they're supposed to be here. I have almost no answers for a person other than very practical solutions and techniques that a person can do, practices, ways of questioning themselves, little tools that can be used to start allowing a person to accumulate more of them so they can hear more of themselves. And my role in that is to be as profoundly loving as I can possibly be in that experience, because what I've seen is the vibration of love, the vibration of that energy is what opens us to everything, is what brings a level of depth and healing that we otherwise would have had no contact with. I would love to be here as an example for people as to what's truly possible without it ever being magic for us energetically. For a person to go, oh, he lives his life this way. Maybe I don't have to live my life all these other ways that are creating so much suffering. Ultimately, I want to be utilized. I want to be used as much as I possibly can while I'm here, whether it's to be someone's hero, someone's villain, or someone's nothing. I don't care as long as that person can start to have a deeper sense of, oh, wow, I was chosen to be here. There's a benevolent force that chooses to keep me here. But why am I in so much pain? Why am I in so much suffering? Well, maybe we have been consistently conditioned with programs and installed with ideas and belief systems that are anti-life force. So a lot of the work I do with people is assisting them in dismantling and increasing their vibratory rate. It's like starting a long war that has not been started in 20 years. There's an activation process to my work with people where maybe I have to pull the cord a few times and then it gets going. And now it's theirs. Now they don't need me anymore. My work hopefully is to be as obsolete as I possibly can in a person's experience. So no one has to lean on me ever. But there is a deep value in being able to go to someone, anyone, who has cultivated a certain frequency of energy that they can remind the system. They can get the system going again, so then that person can take it from there. And that's traditionally the student-teacher relationship in any energetic work, right? Once the student gets to a certain point, the teacher, traditionally referred to as master, which I don't use anymore, but the teacher is sending a foundation of energetic information into that person's system, into that person's channels, that then allows them to access a higher experience and then start to build on it themselves. Mm-hmm. It turns out I did have a long answer for you, and that was the answer.
So the frequency you're cultivating is love.
Yes. The reason I'm hesitant.
Yes.
You know, it's completely correct. Yes, but the reason I'm hesitant is that word.
Yes. Agree.
That word means a million different things to a million different people. The word love is almost obsolete also, because when people are in a conversation together about love, they're having a completely different conversation most of the time.
Maybe you can share your understanding of that specific frequency.
It's God.
Yeah.
It's absolute, unlimited energetic abundance, vibrancy, overflowing, gushing, orgasmic, blissful, but peaceful. Underneath all of it, it's absolute service, the deep desire to share wellness with other people. And then it gets into a space where words can't really meet it, because it's a felt sense, it's a state of being, it's everything. Like, love is just a word, but the frequency of it is a level of expansiveness, lightness, ease, that is unparalleled to anything else. It almost shifts the entire experience of gravity in the body, right? When the body is full of love as a frequency, any aches and pains and heaviness, it all just disintegrates. And it's just this, it's like you're breathing wider than the entire house that you're in, the entire room that you're in. It's this expansiveness. So, you know, interestingly enough, it's never about, I love you so much, right? That's a whole different thing. That's not what I would speak to love. Love can come through in those moments. Love can be shared in those moments. But if one only experiences love in a form of their desire to be with another person, I would say that to me, that is not the highest level of love. That is actually one of the tricks of how we've been sold love, where love becomes very disempowering.
Yeah.
And everything I'm sharing, you know, some people it may land for, other people may have very huge difficulty connecting with what I'm saying. That's not because that person's broken or there's something wrong. It just means that they've been in a signature energetically that has been detached from love, because maybe they're functioning or living their life in a place of fear. Maybe all their decisions are coming from this place of starvation and need, which is deeply unfortunate that that's the way so much of us are raised and treated. But the level of expansiveness is available to everybody. The frequency of love is available to everybody, because that is where we come from. That is why when we disconnect from it, we start to get sick. We start to feel unwell. That's why when we go into nature and we just look at these trees and these plants, and everything is almost orgasmic in its expression, right? When we go out into springtime, everything is just bursting at the seams with life force. They're not having to do anything. They're not having to prove themselves to be looked after. They're not having to fight to be looked after. Right? We're just looked after. And when we believe we're not looked after and we have to fight for it, well, then we disconnect from the expansive frequency. Mm-hmm. And then life gets a lot harder. It gets a lot more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the contraction into a separate self is it's unfortunate.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a problem. It's fine. It's innocent in its movement, but it's unfortunate. It's not a great place to be living this life from, or to be playing this game.
And it's also a gift if we have awareness to it. Mm-hmm. That comes the thing that changes everything. Mm-hmm. Like that's why suffering can be such a significant teacher. Because when we suffer to a certain level, hopefully at a certain point our consciousness wakes up and says, no more. This is wrong. There's something off here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Suffering. Why am I suffering?
Do you see another way out than suffering? Do you see fulfillment as an option as well?
Well, suffering is an illusion, which in itself can be incredibly triggering. To say something like that when a person is deeply in suffering, and I've been deeply in suffering in my life in different phases.
Yeah.
And if someone was to say that to me when I was suffering, that, you know, someone comes along and says, well, it's a choice. I would have fucking hurled the desk at their head.
Fuck you, yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to preface it with that, that there's times where the lesson is the suffering, where the spiritual development and the tearing away of everything that no longer serves us actually comes through the experience of deep suffering, pain, overwhelm, right? There's that word tempering, right? Where we're being tempered, where we're being weathered. I often use the phrase, you know, the weathered heart. The more weathered our heart can become, the more strong we are in love, the more, to just clarify that piece, weathering when we're actually consistently moving into surrender, where we're consistently allowing ourselves to express our feelings, to not just hold it all inside and just get on with it. That's a different type of weathering. and tempering that I'm not here to support. Suffering is a way of looking at things. As an example, for me, very recently, only a few weeks ago, I injured a nerve in my foot, in the bottom of my foot. I also had the most intense poisoning experience I've ever had from ingesting something that had my whole body go into this, you know, live or die type of experience. And I was just watching it going, okay,
wow. This is
you know, and I got very comfortable being abundant and with no challenge for a certain period of time. And all of these things just hit me at once. Inability to walk, extreme, constant, 8 or 9 out of 10 pain, waking up with night sweats, just being obliterated by this. Mm. And the suffering was imperative for me to move to another level of surrender and expansiveness and love, and seeing any pockets where fear is still kind of hiding in my system in relation to my mortality as a human. Like there's so many beautiful gifts that feeling challenged or threatened, what that brings up in us. We get to go deeper into the closet of everything that's potentially just laying dormant in the back of our experience. Mm-hmm. And at the point that I was able to arrive to, oh, the pain is only painful when I'm seeing it as pain. What if I was to completely accept everything that is here right now? Like deeply accept it, invite it in even deeper. All of a sudden, I started to go into blissfulness. I started the pain now went from an intensity of contraction to an intensity of orgasmicness. Mm. And as soon as I went into acceptance, my whole right leg just cleared itself. And I was like, of course. It happened. But I had the inability to get to that place for at least 2 or 3 weeks. For 2 or 3 weeks, my system had to be tempered. I had to be weathered and taught and pummeled by this experience in a way that ultimately is nothing other than humbling at the end of the day. It's humbling, and even in those experiences, can I still show up to be of service to other people? Before, I wouldn't have been able to. This time, I was endlessly in service to other people through that whole process. To me, that was another level of my own experience as an individual. Me being in service to other people, staying in alignment with love in this experience allowed it all to clear and to heal itself rather than fear and contraction. So it's not that I'm just sitting here on top of my little rock telling people suffering is just a choice when I'm never in it. My life has been very, very intense in many different ways. And I think one of the reasons I'm here talking about this type of stuff is because I've only arrived to the point that I'm at in my own understanding of energetics because of the level of intensity that I have been in certain areas and phases of my life. So I'm not here to disacknowledge anyone's suffering and the pain and the challenge that comes from that. But what I am here to say is you have a choice. Whether you look at that from a place of victimhood and disempowerment and, you know, throwing a kind of a tantrum around it and poor old me, which is very easy to do. And in some moments, it can be nice to self-soothe from that place. But ultimately, it will keep you tiny and not actually learning from or expanding through the suffering that you're currently residing in. The suffering is only there as a teacher, right? Once we get the message, the suffering evaporates. But a lot of the times we're so hard-headed and so stubborn and so unwilling to let go of how we've done stuff previous to that phase of suffering. It's like, well, I still want to be able to do all the things I used to do before. Well, maybe life is like, well, you're not supposed to. The next phase doesn't involve you doing any of that. Mm-hmm. So you're only suffering, you're only in pain because you're having to let something go. Life is a whole experience of loss. If we're not on good terms with loss, life is excruciating.
Yeah.
We want to try to be here forever, right? We want to do everything to stay here as long as we can in our misery.
That little me again, right? Believing she can have something, she can own stuff, she can be somebody.
And that's because we're trying to find safety in something. So we're trying to bring it all with us. But safety is an illusion. It's not about safety. It's about alignment with what we truly are. What we are is indestructible on the deepest level. Right? What we are is that God essence, is that God frequency, is that Christ consciousness. Whatever word that person wants to use, source. But do we just say that? Do we just walk around talking about how I am source? But then when, you know, something hits the fan, we show that we don't actually believe that because we try to run to find the thing to save us. Well, what about falling back into source? What about full surrender to that energy that we claim to be aligned with? You know, earlier on in my life, I was really shown that I was full of shit in that area because I was saying a lot of stuff. But it wasn't true, right? When fear came knocking, when challenge came knocking, I would panic and I would start to try to find the solutions and all the things that I had been programmed with.
Mm-hmm.
That was the gift of that phase in my life, was allowing me to actually see, oh, okay, I'm being invited into absolute alignment right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you're in the ring with the guy with the black belt.
Yes.
When you can see, oh, okay, this is where I'm at.
Yes. And you take a humble bow and go, thank you for helping me see where I'm.
Yeah.
Thank you for kicking my ass.
Oh, and the kicking ass doesn't stop.
No.
But it's not as dramatic, you know, as it used to be or as it could be. A lot of your work is addressed to men. Why? Because you're in this male body, or?
I would disagree with that. I actually work with more women. But I hear what you're saying, maybe what is released to the public in terms of who I'm speaking to,
mm-hmm.
poster, in a video, may, you know, that may be more for men. And sometimes it is very specifically like, this is for men. But I feel like it's balanced. And as I said, in my in-person work, actually, there's probably more women that I actually work with. Also, I'm a man, so that's where I started. When I started doing this work, it was just men.
Mm-hmm.
It started to open up to women. But I'd love to find the deeper question in it also of what you're asking.
Yes.
Or you could rephrase it, or maybe another way you could.
Yeah. Yeah, the deeper question is, I perceive men as sort of lost. It's a very general statement. I know. I'm aware of that. There's not as many men out there embodying source in this integrated, integral way. And I'm wondering what is needed what is needed for men to, I almost want to say, come along.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, men are generally being asked for quite a lot from all the different corners, right? Some of that is healthy and beautiful. And some of that is just coming from absolute blind spots. If we're speaking about men and women, right? It's in those terms. There's a lot of blind spots in women that I see in terms of what she's asking for. For some women, what she's demanding for. And I trust that the frequency of the time that we're in, just the collective energetic that we're all under, right? We're like under this veil of collective energy that's just coming into the planet, which ultimately looks after everything. That's what's in charge of everything. That's why everything changes the way it changes. And we're starting to become more open into spirituality, and we're moving into this very clearly different phase of our evolution. And we're in that middle ground, right? We're in the middle ground of the old way and the new way.
Yes.
Which is when everything gets kicked up for purging and for processing. The reason that men may feel more behind is because he's been very busy doing other things up till now. He's been busy building shit and then breaking it apart and then trying to figure out how to put it back together better. Right? He's been busy handling the sewers and building the buildings and working with the economy. And like, men up to this point have been very physically practical, where there hasn't been time for the emotionality exploration. There hasn't been time for him to really go into his feminine because of the energetic that was coming into the planet and how we were evolving over time and over history. There's a healthy version of that. We've seen the very unhealthy version of that, how then we can, as men, get very fixated on the dominating, the conquering, the ownership, the controlling, which happens when we become very practical in something, right? When a man is so focused on how can I break this apart, put it back together, but have it be better for everybody? Because then he wants to make it better. And he wants to turn to the women in his life and go, look what I made. And he wants to receive his reflection of, oh, wow, you made it even better for me. And then he can go, ah, okay, I received my reflection. Let me go out and break something apart and make it better again. So, like, I hear what you're saying. And I work with a lot of women who've been deeply traumatized by male energy, masculinity, and the lack of his seeing when it comes to the more integrated way of being here. But for so long, we required him to be here in a different way, right? And even today, I'll hear so many different reflections from women, such as, you know, how do I have my man just be more masculine? And then another woman will come and say, hey, how can I have my man just feel more? Because, you know, he's so in this thing. And like, how can I help him be? It's like, okay, well, firstly, can you just love him? Because I'm not here to support you changing him.
Yeah.
Where are our blind spots? Where is our me coming up? And how can we all go first in love? Men are phenomenally beautiful and soft-hearted creatures, right? Even in relational dynamics, oftentimes when I work with couples, it tends to be quite commonly a complete reverse, where the man is so deeply in his heart and confused and in his little boy, and the woman is furious about it. And that's not to say that's always the dynamic. I'm not trying to say one is right and one is wrong, but because I continue to receive the reflection of like, how can men get better? I'm like, what's wrong with him right now? Right? Like, I'm not here to support the aspect that men need to get better. Look at what men have done for everything. Yeah. Oh, like what makes our life easy has because men have been completely devoid of emotions, right? Completely disconnected from that part, okay. But so instead that he's breaking stuff and putting stuff back together. Yes, we need integration though.
Yes.
Right? I feel we're in the phase of that's no longer really necessary. Because now you can see with technology, we're going overboard, we're overcorrecting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that, as you said, men can now come back into a phase of starting to go, okay, I've broken and put together enough stuff. Like, how can I start to feel my feelings now? How can I start to learn to be more embodied? How can I start to bring in spiritual concepts into my life that support what I build, that support this power of moving in a direction that maybe has a deeper integrity to it, a deeper love to it, where the drive is not gain, where the drive is not corporate, but the drive is the betterment of community, the health of community, women and children.
A deeper alignment also, no?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, the place this question is coming from is, it's a topic very dear to my heart. I just see men suffering so much. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. What do you need? You know? And oftentimes it's as a woman, it's not my place. You know, maybe it is sometimes. But some men have actually expressed their wish for male mentors more than female mentors.
Yes.
And so that's where my question is coming from. So, okay, so where are these mentors? Where are you guys?
And I'm sure there's elder men who have, you know, lived an experienced life to the point where they are connected with so much more than I am, you know, because I'm a toddler in my own experience. Like, everything is relative.
Yeah.
I love your awareness to that question, because it really is important that men have male, not only mentors, but male examples.
Yes.
So we can correct the faulty assumption of what power looks like. Because power, whether we like it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, power is what drives a man, right? The sense of power allows us as men to recognize that we are alive, that we matter and that we're valuable. But the version of power that we've been dealt is very dysfunctional. It's very ego-based. It is not service-based in any capacity. And power is not a bad thing. Not when it's here in alignment with love, kindness, and generosity. Then it just becomes more love. Stronger power, it's just more love. It's just more integration. It's just more being directed and guided by the Creator, by His Creator, by His way. And how women can support that. My answer is always going to be the same. It's always going to be, okay, can you love him? If you're choosing to be there with him, are you being there with him, seeing all the things he's not, all the ways that he could change and all the ways he needs to do something for you to be met? If so, I would say leave him alone, because you're going to continue to enforce that in him. If you can love him, be there. He doesn't have to be perfect. Of course, there's places that we can work on in relationship. There's no such thing as perfection in any of it. But there has to be a foundation of, wow, I see this man. I love this man. I respect this man. Are there parts that are challenging for me sometimes? Sure. But the foundation is I love and respect this man. And I'm grateful for how this man shows up with me in my life, as he is for her. If she doesn't feel that foundation, why is she there? Because now she's in an act of self-abuse. And a lot of women will go into this disempowering pattern of being with men where she's never being seen. She'll continuously express her dissatisfaction with the fact that he's not seeing me, But as soon as she's seen by a man, she'll run. You want to be held accountable for what's going on in her. And also the opposite is true for many men. You'll see that pattern where older men, especially men in authority, will go through a conveyor belt of younger women. He's always with younger women in his relationships. Why? Well, because she's not going to hold him accountable for anything. She hasn't lived enough life yet, potentially, to be clear in what it is that she's requiring. So we have all these little ways of kind of getting out of being seen, getting out of being called on our shadows, our behavioral patterns. And sometimes we'll just want to be in what's easy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Again, it's so easy to say, I want to be seen. I want to be met. I want to really be met. It's so easy to say that, like it's very easy to say I'm one with the source, but then the actual experience of it, the actual experience of being fully met by another is, it's fucking challenging. It's not my idea that I've had of it being so romantic and whatnot. Nope.
Very confronting.
It's very confronting. Yeah.
Once it's cleared, it also has the potential to be more beautiful and blissful than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of beautiful invitations in these in these confrontations, be it in relationship, be it in meditation, be it in martial arts. I don't know.
Yeah. Just to simplify everything we spoke of, I think it's very helpful to continuously remind ourselves that as much as we claim to look like we know, nobody really knows anything for the most part. We have senses of things. We have internal knowings of things, but ultimately most people, you know, we know very little of anything. So if we can come to terms with that, already it allows us to open into a student mentality. It allows us to expand our vision and our receptivity so we can start to receive so much more. We're not so close-minded. We're not so contracted to the things that we believe are not correct. That's the first point. And the second point to clarify everything is, regardless of everything I said, what I would hope the foundation is understood as is, in every single moment of my life, can I be more, in a true sense, not in a false sense, in a true sense, can I be more loving? Can I be more generous? Can I be kinder? And can I be more patient? Just those elements, just those virtues, just as a practice. If someone wants to practice and doesn't want to do yoga or qigong or meditate or any of that, okay, great. Just focus on those aspects that I mentioned as a daily moment-to-moment practice. Dare I say that would be enough to shift them.
This was Chris Bale, a Qigong practitioner, energy healer, and what I would call a spiritual influencer. Let us know what you think. Let us know what resonates for you from this conversation. As always, you'll find us via email, contact@reflab.ch, or on social media, reflab.ch. Thank you so much for listening. Danke vielmals fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns wieder in 2 Wochen. Reflab.